Welcome to church this morning. We are continuing in a series called Out of the Shallows. And we probably all remember in some fashion the first time in childhood when we went from the shallow end to the deep end. Or maybe at least you remember the emotion, because although it was really scary, in the end of the day, it was so worth it. And we all kind of remember that or have seen somebody go through that as a child recently. And though that happens as a kid, it's certainly true that that process has just continued throughout our lives as we've gone from the shallow end to the deep end in all kinds of ways. And here's what I do know. In any time in your life when you have gone from the shallow end to the deep end in any area of your life, I bet you've always been glad and you've never wanted to go back. And that's what this series is about. This series is about getting out of the shallows and taking a step deeper in our faith from wherever we are today or wherever we find ourselves. Like whether you are a curious skeptic wondering if there's something real and powerful to this Jesus stuff, or whether you are a hungry novice new to the faith and just wanting to grow more and more, or whether you're a restless veteran looking for that next level or perhaps a cure for your stagnation, this series is for you. Last week we said who this series may not be as much for is the happy camper. Like the person who's kind of happy, fine with where they are spiritually. But if that is you, it's totally okay. And here's what we hope happens maybe for you during this series. I hope that potentially this series plants in you a little desire for more. Maybe gives you a healthy dissatisfaction with where you are spiritually. And maybe even opens your eyes to some things that you didn't know were there or didn't even think were possible. But our prayer over these 3 weeks is that maybe, just maybe, together, we'll get deeper in our faith. And as a result, our faith will become more powerful to us and more compelling to those around us. Now, to be truthful, I'm sure that for many of us, the idea of getting out of the shallows and growing in our faith is something that we would have thought, well, that's church's job, right? Like, hello, that's why I am sitting in this seat this morning. But like we saw last week, the writer of Hebrews says, not so fast. You have a role to play. And the sobering truth that we ran into last week was that unless we do, chances are we are going to get in the way. That God does have an amazing plan for what he wants to do in your life, in my life, in our faith this year. And he is doing his part, but we have a part to play as well. And until we do, this is important, no amount of sermons and no amount of songs and no amount of podcasts and no amount of books is going to be able to get you where you and where God wants you to go in your faith. And that's what this series is about. We got some props here. This series is about three things that we need to start doing in our faith, three dials that we need to start turning in our faith, three roles that we need to step up and start playing in our faith if we want to get out of the shallows and experience all of the depths that God has for us. And last week we started with principle number one, and that was simply that we need to feed ourselves. You need to feed yourself. There is a progression spiritually in the same way that there is one physically, and there comes a point in everyone's life when they have to put down the bottle and pick up a fork and start feeding themselves. And in the name of that, we started this journey called 21 Days of Deep. It's like a texting service you're getting every morning, and the whole goal is to go from the bottle to the fork, from milk to solid food, and we're trying to play the role of Blue Apron. And we are delivering onto your phone every morning a passage of scripture and a very straightforward, simple way to feed yourself. And 7,000 or more of you have signed up for it and are doing it. That's incredible. And I'm so proud of you. I hope it's going well. Yeah, come on. You can give yourselves a round of applause. If you would like to join in with that and you haven't yet, you certainly can. Right now, you can text NP Shallows to 555-888. We would love to have you join in. My wife and I have enjoyed it this week ourselves. So that was part one. And today, I'm really excited to move into part two, and the second principle for getting out of the shallows and into the depths in our faith from wherever we are. And to get us thinking in that direction, I want to give you a quick update on my life. Recently, two truths have collided in a somewhat unsettling way in my life. The first is that I have four kids, and the second is that summer is here, and that means that many men of my age and stage of life have become increasingly concerned about putting this on display at the pool or the beach, and that's dad bod. If you don't know what dad bod is, I brought the definition of dad bod with me. here we go. Dad bod is the type of physique a man earns when the increasing pressures of work life, married life, and especially fatherhood no longer allow him the time or drive to maintain a hard-toned figure. If human bodies were cuts of meat, the dad bod would be more marbled ribeye than filet mignon. Or if human bodies were sea mammals, dad bod would be more like a grazing manatee than a speedy dolphin. The dad bod is more mudslide than mountain, more soft serve than sorbet, more sad trombone than clarinet, more mashed potato than skinny fry. The dad bod is built for comfort. That's that's dad bod. Now, it's not as if every guy my age is all the way there, but what you do learn is that you're never really that far from it, right? You really learn that you're never more than about 3 months away from total dad bod. Like, all it takes is a busy season at work and a couple calls to Chin Chin Chinese, and bam, you're on the doorstep. Like, that's just how it happens. And I know, you guys in your 20s, you're sitting out there laughing with your metabolisms, and you're like, what are you talking about? That's never going to happen. Uh-huh. Yeah, just wait. Keep laughing, because we'll be there when you turn 30 and your metabolism says, see ya, and all of those bon glaze bacon strips that you've been pounding literally start showing up on your midsection. We'll be there. Trust me, bro. You are Jon Snow and Dadbot is coming. It's going to happen. But anyway, that's beside the point. Well, that's the position, though, that I find myself in. Maybe you can identify, what do I do when I'm not entirely satisfied with the way that I look physically? You know, what do you do? And that is certainly a complicated question, because there are a lot of facets to that issue, which is why there are trainers, right? And all the people to help you. In fact, I remember what the first trainer I ever met, he was a friend of mine, told me. I still remember it from all those years ago, what he told me about your body. In fact, he boiled the whole thing of fitness down to two categories, and he said, your body composition basically has two sides to it. And he said, the first side is this right here, calories in, okay? Which is where the problem starts, right? Or to use a metaphor, the problem, it starts right here on the couch. Like, let's say this couch, which it does, represents where I consume my calories, you know, like where I'm watching Suits season 7 and stuffing my face with Boy Scout popcorn because it's so delicious, okay? This is calories in. And it would be fantastic, wouldn't it, if I could fix my problem from the couch. That would be super convenient. Like, it would be really nice if I could calories in my way to fitness, or if I could eat my way to abs, you know? That would be great. But I can't. I can't. That's not how it works. In fact, I mean, maybe I do need to pay attention to both the quantity and the quality of my intake, but I'm certainly not going to improve the way I look by turning up the couch. It's not going to happen. Now, if I'm going to make a change in the way that I look, the area that I'm going to have to, like, ramp up or turn up isn't calories in. It's the second part, and it's not calories in. It's what? Yeah, it's calories out. Like, at some point, I'm going to have to get up. I'm going to have to go put on some Lulu, and I'm going to have to work out, you know? I'm going to have to get in the gym and start working out. That's what this curl bar represents. It represents where you go from consuming calories to burning them. And it could be running, cardio, it could be weights, it could be a class, it could be a sport. But this is where you start burning calories. This is calories out. You get it. And I know, CrossFitters in the room, you're going, I lift so much more than that. We know. This is a sermon illustration, not a wad. Give me some grace, please. Sorry. I love CrossFit. I don't do it, but I love it. But anyway, the concept is pretty straightforward, right? That when you work out, what you are doing is you are boosting calories out. Because not only does the act of working out burn calories, but when your muscles grow, they just burn more calories when you're not working out. So it's like a win-win. And that's the goal. The goal is, of course, to get to the point where calories out are greater than calories in. Because that's when you start to change your body composition. That's when you start burning fat. Calories in, calories out. That's what my trainer told me all those years ago. But if I lost you in all the science, the idea in a nutshell is just simply this. If you don't like the way that you look physically, if you're not entirely satisfied, it's hard to do something about it from here. You got to go work out. We all get that. But here's the question I'm getting at. What about spiritually? Like, what do you do when you don't like the way you look spiritually. Like, let's say you are a curious skeptic trying to find out if there's something real and if it is, to find it in your faith. Or let's say that you are a hungry novice, kind of new in the deal, and you're just trying to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Or let's say that you actually are a restless veteran looking for that next level. Like, what if you're actually not somebody who's a happy camper? What if you're someone who's got a little bit of unhealthy dissatisfaction with where you are spiritually, and you're like, yeah, I want to get out of the shallows and I want to go deeper from wherever I happen to be. What do you do? What then? Well, here's what most of us do, if you're anything like me. What most of us do is we do something like this. We up our church attendance, right? Or we like dial up the sermons that we're listening to, or the podcast that we're listening to, or we like turn up the devos or the Bible reading, which is all great stuff. And it totally makes sense. We do something like that because our thinking goes like this. We like, the more that God works, the deeper my faith gets, right? The more God works, the deeper my faith gets. And so that's what we do. You're like showing up at church, God, I'm here, start working, do your thing. Or God, I got my AirPods in, I'm listening, you know, start working, do your thing. Because the more God works, the deeper my faith gets. And here's what I simply want to propose this morning. Maybe we're getting it backwards. I think a lot of us might be getting it backwards. Or at least many of us who are Christians in the room, because there is something that is so obvious and so apparent in the physical realm that is actually really hard to discern in the spiritual realm. Or at least that's what we're going to see in the passage that we're looking at today, in the second principle for getting out of the shallows and into the depths that God has for us. And I got to tell you, if you are a Christian in the room, this principle that we're talking about has done more to grow my faith personally than probably anything else. Like, there was a time when I thought my faith was deep, and then somebody taught me this, and it just opened up like entirely new realms for me and my faith. And so I can't wait to jump into it today. But if you're not a Christian, let me tell you how important I think this could be. I think this could be the thing that convinces you. I think this could be the thing that persuades you to say yes to following Jesus. Like, for real. And so I'm excited to talk about it. It's found in the letter called Philippians in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul to a church, a relatively new church, in the Roman colony of Philippi. And the context is pretty fascinating because Paul is actually writing this letter from prison. And he's writing it to this church which he planted. And so he planted this church in person in Philippi, and now he's in prison. But that means that the future of these particular people, the future of their faith, is of highest importance to him. And that's why he's writing. He's writing in an effort to like push them forward in their faith. And he's about to give them a game plan for doing that. But before I describe or read to you the game plan, I want to go ahead and tell you the results that he is promising to them, and incidentally to you and to me. Here's what he's about to offer you. Then, if you do this game plan, what I'm about to tell you, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. If you do this, you're going to shine among them like stars in the sky. In other words, you're going to shine among others spiritually. You ever been to the pool and seen someone who stood out from among the others? If you're married or dating, just say, it's you, babe. But you know what I'm talking about. Paul is saying, I'm about to give you the game plan or the formula for becoming one of those people spiritually. For becoming somebody who has like a quality to their soul and to their faith and to their character that just stands out, that shines among others. Not a bad promise to walk away with today, right? And here's what's fascinating. Just like my trainer from all those years ago, he is about to take us right back to the idea of calories in and calories out. And I want to read you what he says about calories in first. Here's what he says. For it is God who works in you. Say, works in. Yeah, y'all can do that louder. I like it when you talk back to me. For it is God who works in. There you go. For God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. For it is God who works in you to want the right thing and to do the right thing in order to fulfill his good purpose or his amazing plan for your life. Anybody in the room ever seen God work in you? Yeah? Yeah, like maybe it was a sermon. You're listening to a sermon and the person's preaching and you're like, how did he know? He's preaching right to me. That's God, by the way. And God is using this sermon to work in your life in potentially a powerful way. I mean, I think about just this last series with You're Not the Boss of Me. I mean, holy cow, every week was like, how did you know? You know? And God is like working in our emotions and the things that control us. So that's God working in you. Or maybe it's a worship song when you hear the lyrics and it's like just what you needed to hear in the moment or just what your heart wanted to say but didn't have the words until you heard the song and God is working in you. Like I think about that Phil Wickham song we sang after the baptisms last Sunday. It was like, you know, if you were here, you know. Or maybe it's like a Bible study. Or a devotional and you're reading and it's like just the truth you needed to start your day or launch your week or help you deal with whatever you're facing and God's just like working in you. Or maybe it's a book or a podcast and it's this person's dropping bombs so fast you can't even tweet fast enough and you're like, ah, you know, God is, that's calories in. That's God working in you, like you experience God and he's working in and that matters. Like calories in, really important. And that's where we started last week, talking about the call to move from milk into solid food. Calories in are a really big deal, but here's the deal. This passage is not about that. This passage is actually about adding something to it that's crucial. It's about adding something to it that if we ignore has the potential to keep us in the shallows, but if we heed has the potential to launch us into depths that we haven't yet seen. And here's how I know that, because of this word right here, for. For it is God who works in you. This verse isn't the thing that Paul is telling you to do and telling us to do. This verse is the motivation for the thing that Paul is telling us to do. What he's actually telling us to do is in the verse before it, and here it is. He says, therefore, my dear friends, he cares so much about these people, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence when I was there planting this church, but now much more in my absence, now that I'm in prison, continue to work out your salvation. Everybody say, work out. Work out. Yeah, thank you. Continue to work out your salvation or your faith and do it with fear and trembling. Do it like it matters, like it's a big deal, like it's really important. In other words, what he's saying is like, hey, you want to know the game plan for changing the way that you work spiritually, for getting a deeper faith? It's a whole lot simpler than you might think it is. Here's what you need to do. You need to get off the couch and you need to work out. You need to get off the couch and you need to work out your salvation. You need to put your faith into practice, you know? Like you need to go do something God wants you to do. You need to go develop a habit that God wants you to develop. You know, you need to change a character trait that God wants you to change, you know? You want to go love someone that Jesus wants you to love. Forgive someone that Jesus wants you to forgive. Invite somebody to come the church, or go help somebody in our community who is poor and needs your generosity, or go volunteer as a small group leader in like Wombaland or one of our family ministries. Oh man, that's really hard. And maybe go start a Bible study or do like life lessons over lunch. He's like, hey, you need to go work out your faith. You need to go put your faith into practice. You don't actually need to spend more time here. Man, if you're like most Christians or even most semi-religious people, this is where you spend most of your time anyway, already. Some of you spend every Sunday here. Some of you spend every morning here. You don't need more calories in. What you need is to go send some calories out. What you need to do is get in the gym and start doing this. Start working out your salvation. Start working out your faith. Whew. I'm gonna take a break. And that's what he says. I think now we're ready to read the whole verse in order. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For, because, since it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. In other words, what he's saying is, you got to work out what God is working in. You got to work out what God is working in. You gotta work out what God is working in. That's how you change the way you look spiritually. That's how you get a deeper faith. Why? Because the same thing that's true of us physically is true of us spiritually. The same thing that's true of dad bod is true of God bod. You can't do it from the couch. It is not enough just to let God work in you. No, those calories in are meant to be translated into calories out as you work out your faith and develop a quality and a strength and a depth that you never had before. That's just how it works. A deep faith is one that is exercised. A deep faith is one that's exercised. And y'all, I think we need to hear that. I think we need to hear that because I need to hear that. And here's why I think we need to hear that. Because I think a lot of us right now are just sitting on the couch collecting experiences. You know what I'm saying? Just sitting on the couch doing this right now. Like, I think it's really easy to sit on the couch and just be like, hey, did you hear that Last Andy series? Yeah? No, it was great. It was awesome. No, I mean, I've been listening to that that Elevation guy. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Furtick. I've been listening to Furtick. Y'all just aren't spiritual enough. I've been listening to Louis G. Come on. Mm-hmm. Whatever. You're just too spiritual, man. I've been listening to Tim Ferriss and washing him down with some Jordan Peterson. Mind blown. Oh my gosh, we just started a new Beth Moore study. We read like 14 chapters of the Bible every morning and talk about it, and I cry every time. It's amazing. She's my girl. Are you kidding? Nerd. I read Jesus Calling with that song Oceans on repeat and cry every time. Like, thank you very much, you know? When's the next night of worship? I got to get my feels in for the month. Nom, 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 you know? Does that sound at all familiar to anybody? Does that ring a bell with anybody? I know it sure does with me. Which, by the way, if you're not a Christian, that was a whole lot of insider jargon really fast. I'm sorry. Somebody will catch you up at some point. But man, I think so many of us are probably right now just sitting on the couch collecting experiences. And I promise you, I'm not trying to be critical. And I'm not trying to like hate on that at all. There's just one problem. And the problem is this. You want to get deeper? Well, deep is not a collection of experiences. That's not what deep is. Deep is not a collection of experiences, like that church conference that you go to, or the services that you attend, or those like four or five pastors that you listen to on rotation. By itself, I hate to say it, but that's the shallow end. By itself, that's just overeating. Because deep is not a collection of experiences. No, you know this. Deep is a collection of applied experiences. Like going to a Christian conference for 3 days doesn't make you a deeper Christian any more than sitting in a garage for 3 days makes you a car, or listening to Hillsong for 3 days makes you a worship leader. That's not how it works. Like you know that. But I'll tell you what, going to a Christian conference for 3 days and then going and doing something about it that changes your life or blesses somebody else's, now that could change your faith forever, right? And I think my fear is, I just fear that we've, me included, kind of got in the habit, especially in Christian circles, and if you're not a Christian, maybe this bothers you, but I think our fear that maybe we've kind of got in the habit of being experience collectors. And we're trying to change the way we look spiritually from the couch. And it doesn't work any better spiritually than it does physically. Why? Because while, yes, amazing experiences and delicious calories in are absolutely a part of the picture of spiritual health, they are at most only a half of that picture. The other half is what we do with it. Y'all, we got to work out what God is working in, because faith is something that grows through use. It's in that category of things that grows through use and through exercise. And I have to imagine, I was thinking about this, I have to imagine that that is why Jesus, in his like precious 3 years of launching the church, I think that's why He took the time to send his disciples out to preach and to serve the community at least twice. Because when I read it, I'm going like, couldn't that wait? I mean, are you kidding me? Just go spend time with Jesus. He's only got like 3 years, you know? But Jesus is going, no. We can't just spend 3 years working in. No way. They got to go work out. There's just something unique that happens. And I just want to tell you, I think the same's true of your faith and my faith. And those of you who have like hit the spiritual gem, you can testify that it is true. But I'm telling you, I mean, you can sit in these rows all you want and it's awesome. But you go be a transit small group leader and take responsibility for some sixth graders. I promise you, your faith will get deeper. Or you'll quit. One or the other. Right? Man, you go invite somebody to church, and like you go through that process of like loving someone unconditionally who's different from you and risking your reputation to invite them to church, I promise you, your faith's going to get deeper. You go serve the poor of our community. I promise you, your compassion and your joy is going to get deeper. Or you go defeat a sin, like actually decide, I'm going to defeat a sin in my life. I'm going to make some hard decisions. You're going to deny yourself, invite accountability, ask for and receive grace. Your faith, I promise you, it's going to get deeper. Like go face a wound or forgive an enemy or do any of those things and do them. Not just like listen to a sermon about them. And I'm telling you, you are going to get deeper whether you mean to or not. I mean, you can't help it. You can't even stop it because that's just what happens when you work out your faith. Like when you work out your faith, you see for yourself that God is real and that God is powerful and that he is faithful and that he is compassionate and that he is much closer than you thought and bigger than you thought and better than you thought. And in the process, you start developing some spiritual muscles that you never had before. And you find the depths that can only be accessed through exercise. Man, I hope that's helpful. I hope that's helpful to a lot of us this morning. Or I hope maybe it even bothers some of us this morning. Because maybe, like me, maybe you're sitting there and you're realizing you've had it backwards for a while. Because every time you wanted to change the way you looked spiritually, you went to the couch rather than to the curl bar. Every time you wanted to change the way you worked spiritually, you went looking for God to work in when what you needed to do was go work out what he was working in. And you're going, yeah, I need to change that. And you do. And so do I. And I'm telling you, if you decide to make this simple shift, I'm telling you, something real and something measurable, and I think something powerful is going to happen in your faith and in my faith. In fact, Paul tells us, what he thinks is going to happen. Here's what he says. It's the end of the passage. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Go work out what God's working in and do it cheerfully so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. There's a lot of crazy and dark stuff that happens in our world. We all know that. And then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. As you hold firmly to the word of life, which is the good news of Jesus. And then I love this last part. This is awesome. Don't miss this last part. And then I, Paul, will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. I did not run or labor in vain. He's saying, hey, you know what will happen if you start working out what God's working in? All of your experiences will not be in vain. Now, why might they be in vain? Because there is a whole world of people out there searching for the same light that you've stumbled upon. There's a whole world of people out there who need the same grace that you've so undeservedly gotten and I've so undeservedly gotten. There's a whole world of people out there who are looking for the same generosity and compassion that your Heavenly Father is lavishing on you right now as you sit in this seat. There's a whole world of people out there who are hungry for the word of life that you're currently clinging to as it so powerfully works in you. And Paul is saying, you gotta work it out. You gotta work it out and you gotta do it cheerfully because a faith that is exercised is one that shines. A faith that is exercised shines, and you got to shine because when you shine, not only will it be distinct, but it'll be attractive and it'll be compelling and it'll be powerful, and God is gonna use it. All of his working in you of great effect for you will not be in vain for those around you, because you will pass it on. Oh, go work out what God is working in, not only because it's the pathway to the depths that he has for us, but because it's the invitation for somebody else as well. And that's why, man, I would love to invite you, or in the continuing the metaphor of the gym, I'd love to challenge you, spur you on. I would love to invite you to start working out your faith in a way that you never have before. And I'd love to specifically invite you to do it this fall. Work out your faith. Because until you do, I'm telling you, you and I are just going to get in the way. We're just going to get in the way of the amazing thing that God wants to do in our lives to take us deeper in our faith from wherever we currently are. We're just going to get in the way. Go work out what God is working in. And in the name of that, I want to give you some real specific things that you can start doing this fall to work out what God is working in. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but I think it's a pretty good start. Some of you, what you need to do is serve. If you've been to church around here and call this your church, I mean, this is what we do. This is what we do. We serve the people that come here, and specifically the next generation. And some of you, you need to start serving in Wambaland or Upstreet or Transit or Inside Out or Guest Team, Parking Team or whatever. And you need to do that, because not only are you going to give back, but your faith is going to grow. Some of you, that's what you need to go do. You need to go serve. Others of you, maybe you need to invite someone to church. Again, this is what we do around here. And maybe this needs to be the fall where you start tuning in to who's living around you and who maybe needs an invitation to discover life in Jesus, so their life can be better and they can be better at life like yours is getting. And you just need to invite them, because your faith is going to get deeper. Others of you, maybe what you need to do is share something that you're learning. Like, pass on something that God is doing in your life. Like, maybe you need to start a Bible study or lead a group in your home or do life lessons over lunch or become a Renew mentor and just, like, pass on what God has been teaching you, because some of you have so much to pass on. Are you kidding me? And you need to do that, not only because you can change someone's life, but your faith is going to grow deeper. Others of you, maybe what you need to do is just to be kind and generous. Like, you need to go to the intersect and be like, how can you use me? I have some extra time, or who does, actually? But I have some time I'm willing to give, and I have some money that I'm willing to give. Where can you use me? I'm telling you, you will meet some really deep people if you go and do that, and God will grow your faith. Or here's one more. This might perhaps be like the lowest rung on the ladder, but I loved it so much I had to include it. Maybe all of us, or at least start here, need to read and listen with action. Need to read and listen with action. I got this idea from Mark Batterson, but here's basically the idea. Maybe before you read that next chapter of the Bible, you need to decide what you're going to do about the one you just read. Yeah. Maybe before you listen to that next episode of the podcast or the next piece of the sermon series, you should figure out what you're going to do about the one you just listened to. Like, read and listen with action. Some of you have already recently heard God, like, speak about an area of your life, your finances or your emotions or something like that. Go change it. Go change it. God, through the Holy Spirit, is giving you all the power and the freedom and the energy that you need to do something about it. Go unleash it. Not only will you start to change, but your faith will go deeper. So go work out what God is working in. And I want to challenge you to do it this fall in a way that you currently aren't. So let's say, like, around when school starts. So somewhere mid-August, so you have a month to get your gym membership lined up. We'll help you. But by the time school starts, I expect to see you in the gym, all right? Okay? And we actually want to help. I mean, not only can you come talk to somebody in the studio this Sunday, but we have created a website just for this, just to help you start working out what God's working in a way that fits your passions, your personality, your stage of life, your stage of faith. And it's next at np.com, all spelled out in case you're just listening, nextatnp.com. And that website is designed just to help you take a next step in this. We are really excited about it. So I'd love for you to screenshot that. It'll be on social media. You can find it after this is over. But this has been designed for you to help take this next step, and we're going to walk alongside you. So please do that. Go work out what God is working in. And just to be clear, I want to make sure that you realize that the application today is not hating on the experiences. The point of today is not, hey, let's turn down the couch. Let's turn down the experiences. No way. The point of today is to match them. Like, I think about it this way. Y'all know this guy, The Rock? Yeah. You know how many calories this man eats in an average day? 5,000. Or how about this guy? You remember Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time? You know how many calories he consumed at the height of his training a day? 12,000 calories. See, that's a picture of what I actually want for you and what we want for you. I want you to be consuming massive amounts of calories from God because you need him to support the massive amount of calories you're spending for him. You know? Do I want you to turn down the couch? No way. I want you to be consuming massive amounts of calories from God because you need him to support the massive amount of calories you're spending for him. Go work out what God's working in. And I just want to leave you with this final thought. This is the question that's been bothering me as I've been preparing this and writing all this and stuff like that. Have you ever heard the term or the concept of earning your calories? Have you ever heard anybody say that? You can nod your head if you have. It's like the idea is, well, I ran 3 miles, so I earned this donut, you know? Like, I deserve this pizza. I worked out today. It's earning your calories. Well, here's the question I want to leave you with, or the thought. Y'all, we have the opportunity to sit under one of the greatest Christian teachers of our generation, maybe even our era. And he's not right here, so it's not that awkward for me to say. But it's true. You know it's true. But it's not just him. You have at your fingertips access to the greatest English speakers about Jesus on the planet. And not only that, some of the greatest churches in our country are right here in Atlanta. God is moving in us. He is working in us in a dynamic and unprecedented way. And the question I just want to leave us with is, are you earning your calories? Are you earning your calories? And do I say that to make you feel guilty? No. Do I say it to make you feel a sense of possibility? Absolutely. Because, like, imagine with me for a second. Imagine with the way that God is working in us, and I mean all of us, no matter where you are spiritually or in your faith right now, with the magnitude and the unprecedented way that God is working in us as a church and as a family, can you imagine the weight that we could throw around if we actually got in the gym, all of us together? I mean, can you imagine it? Like, some of you could attain spiritual heights that you've never seen before. Some of you could accomplish goals in your faith or even in your life that you never thought were possible. Like, that could happen. But it's not just about you, obviously. Can you imagine the weight that we could throw around on others' behalf? I mean, come on. Some of you could carry a burden for someone this fall. Some of you could light the way for someone this year. Some of you could stand in the gap for somebody this year. Some of you could literally just hold back the darkness in someone's life this year. Some of you could be a part of walls falling down or chains being broken in someone's heart or someone's life this very year. Some of you could literally be the answer to somebody's prayer this year, like their prayer for provision, their prayer for deliverance, their prayer for companionship, their prayer for victory in their life, their prayer for somebody to mentor or even just love on their kid. That's the deep stuff, y'all. That's the deep stuff. Go work out what God's working in. Can you imagine? And by the way, if you're a new Christian, don't you wait 1 second to do this. Don't you wait 1 second to start working out what God's working in. God uses unqualified people all the time. That's not an insult at all. I'm just telling you, some of the biggest steps in my faith all along the way have simply been times where I said yes to an opportunity to work out what God's working in that I had no business saying yes to. I was so unqualified, but God worked anyway. Hey, new Christians in the room, I think God's about to push the gas pedal down for some of you in your faith. Go work out what God's working in. Hey, veterans, maybe this is even more for some of us. Because you know what some of us maybe need to do? Some of us, maybe we need to get back in the game. Like some of us, you got to get back in the gym. And I'm not talking lifting 15s. I'm talking like squat racks with 45s on them. Some of you need to get back in the gym and throw some weight around. Some of you, like, you need to start serving again. That's what we do around here. This is who we are as a church. Some of you, you got to start inviting people to church again. That's who we are. Like, that's what we do. We need you. But not just we need you. You need you. Don't sit on the couch. Those aren't the depths you're looking for. Go throw some weight around. I think you might be on the front end of the greatest season of God using you yet in your faith. And I can't wait for you to experience it. And me too. Go work out what God's working in. And by the way, one last thing. If you're not a Christian in the room, I genuinely think this might be the thing. If you want to get a genuine taste test of Jesus, like an intellectually honest, real deal experiment of whether he actually is worth following, listen, don't go watch another sermon. Go do this. Go give your life away to somebody else. Like, go love them, go help them, go serve them. You know, that's the thing Jesus said Christians should be known for, not that they go to church, but that they love other people sacrificially in the same way that he's loved us sacrificially. That's the thing. And I dare you to go try it. I dare you. Go love someone like Jesus and see if it is not the most compelling thing on the planet. I dare you to go do that, because that's what real Christianity actually is. In fact, I'll bet you $100. You start, go start loving somebody like Jesus out there, and I bet you'll start listening to him a lot more in here, because it's that good. And it's that compelling. It might be the thing that convinces you. And so for all of us in the room, me included, I imagine if Jesus were your spiritual trainer and you sat down with him and you're like, Jesus, I'm here. Take me deeper. I think for a lot of us, he'd say, yeah, that's the problem. You're here. Go out there and go work out what I'm working in. And I'll be with you every step of the way, but I can't wait to talk to you on back end, because your faith is going to be so much deeper. Let's go work out what God's working in.